If you watch modern politics, it feels sometimes like people see themselves not as citizens of a country, but members of a cult. You see this in many ways. The way we treat celebrities, sometimes their fan following is more of a cult. You see this with sports figures. You see it, of course, in politics. It can happen in business as well. This tendency toward cult behavior should be very disturbing, because when you're in a cult, you seem to lose control of your faculties. You lose your healthy skepticism. Well, Radia Gleiss is the author of the book The Followers, Holy Hell and the Disciples of Narcissistic Leaders, How My Years in a Notorious Cult Parallel Today's Cultural Mania. She's lived in a cult. She's seen it. She's told the story. The book is out. The Followers, Holy Hell and the Disciples of Narcissistic Leaders. Radia, first of all, spend a minute or two talking about how you ended up in a cult, how you left, and then let's talk about what we learned from that.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's you know, that's a complicated story, which is what the book was about. This is when it says The Followers, Holy Hell and the Disciple of Narcissistic Leaders, there was a documentary that was released in 2016 called Holy Hell. And lots of people have seen that documentary. And basically, it's now available on Amazon. It was top 10 picks at Sundance and also on Netflix. And what it says in that documentary is, you know, although Will Allen was great, I think he did a beautiful job, he only had 100 minutes to tell a 30-year story. And so a lot of what you see in that film really doesn't depict the whole story. So you ask me, well, how did you get there, and you know, what went on? That's a long and complicated story. It's why I spent 2.5 years writing the book. But to try and shorten it, you know, back in the 60s and 70s in Los Angeles, there was a cult on every block. You know, you had your Scientologists and you had your Moonies and you had, you know, all kinds of cult behavior. And a lot of the restaurants in Hollywood and whatever were like the Source restaurant. It was owned by a cult. So there was a sort of a transition in the mindset in the 60s and 70s. And Eastern religion and Eastern culture was starting to, you know, come onto the landscape. And I and many of my friends were interested in sort of breaking away from the status quo and looking for something deeper. And so I actually grew up and was raised in a Catholic school. And even though I left Catholicism at the age of reason, which to the Catholics is age 7, I still went through all the way up to high school in Catholic school. And they had offered in 9th grade a comparative religions course. And so we were studying Buddhism and Hinduism and Sufism and all of the isms. And there was a word in Hinduism, nirvana. And when I asked the teacher, what does this word mean? He said, well, you know, some yogis in India, through a certain meditation practice, experience God directly. And I said, is that true? And he said, well, apparently. And I'm like, oh, okay. So from the time I was about 14, I set out on a journey. And by the time I was 28, I was probably 26 at the time. I really hadn't found anyone who could say, yes, I experienced through that meditation nirvana, until I was about that age. And then I met some people who were claiming that they knew those meditation techniques. And so that's how I started. Now, the bottom line of my book is the man who made that claim was a total fraud. He's a narcissistic sociopath. But my journey was to dedicate my life to those particular techniques. There was differences with them. But, you know, people ask me, why'd you join a cult? Well, nobody wakes up one day and says, you know, I'm going to join a cult. It doesn't happen that way. And usually it's, if it's just started, like with the people that I started with, there was only 15 of us. And we weren't recruiting and we weren't, you know, doing anything. We were just, you know, I'd invite a friend and another person would invite a friend, and one thing led to another. And the next thing you knew, the group grew. And it's depicted very well in Holy Hell in the documentary, because it's actual footage of us. You'll see footage of me when I'm 29 years old. I'm 67 today. So it really showed how this group out of California just grew. But the problem was, is that the leader had narcissistic tendencies, and we began to feed those narcissistic tendencies. And like what happens very often, whether it's in a political or a social or in a religious organization, when you've got a leader and they have narcissistic tendencies and you feed that, corruption ensues. So through the years, he became very corrupt and very abusive, especially sexually abusive. But he was homosexual, so I, being a female, we weren't aware that that was going on. So that's the short version.
What do you say to people who fear their loved one might be in a cult? Every organization is not a cult. Some might seem to have cult-like tendencies. But what are the telltale signs?
Well, the first telltale sign that I always think about is, there's Socratic and non-Socratic types of teaching. So Socratic, you're basically arguing various different philosophies or whatever, and it's a sort of free ability to question and, you know, go back and forth in your premise until you come to your own conclusion. But a non-Socratic is pretty much dictated to. It's usually an authoritarian kind. And so when you say cult, I've been asked in interviews, you know, do you think that religions are cults, or is there a difference? Well, if they're non-Socratic, then usually they can go in that direction. They can be susceptible to corruption. Because if you're not allowed to question and you're dictated to, whether it's political or religious or whatever, that's a first sign. And again, in one of my chapters, it's entitled, What is a Cult? It's Complicated. And it's actually one of my funnier chapters, but I really dissect the word, because the word itself, thanks to people like Jim Jones and Manson and those good guys, has become so pejorative that most people will repel the idea that they may be in one, because they're thinking, well, you know, I'm not doing those horrible things. So you have to be careful of that word, because it, you know, people just won't accept it. Another thing about it is that there's usually a leader, as opposed to, say, a club. You know, there may be teachings in a club, or there may be, you know, meditation gathering or whatever, and there might be a board, or there might be, you know, a group of people that or teachers that sort of run the club. But if there's usually one person, one has to be careful. Now, you also have to be careful of, there's usually one ideology, and an ideology can also be cult-like. So if there's no variance and there's no ability to question, you're either in or you're out, that's another characteristic of a cult. And usually the leader, or how we would define a dangerous situation, would be if the leader has narcissistic tendencies, and usually there's a feedback loop between the cult members and the leader. And in certain religions, for example, with and you had mentioned that your wife is from India, so she might be familiar with some of these practices. One practice in Hindu or in India is to pranam, which is basically to bow either to an elder or to a grandfather or to a teacher or a revered person. Well, in my situation, for example, we were practicing that, but the idea was to bow or to put your head below your feet. In other words, so you weren't bowing to the teacher at the time, you were bowing to your serenity of your ego to God, right? But after a while, the teacher started liking being bowed to. So the original, you know, instruction kind of fell by the wayside. So the generations that came in after us saw people bowing in front of the teacher and didn't get that in-office memo of what we were doing. And after a while, the teacher started to like that. So he took that instruction off the table. So we built him. We really created a monster. So if you start giving yourself to one person or one ideology beyond your own individuality, I would start questioning.
Radia Gleese is the author of the book, The Followers, Holy Hell and the Disciples of Narcissistic Leaders, How My Years in a Notorious Cult Parallel Today's Cultural Mania. It is available now. Radia, thank you for sharing this story. I hope you help somebody.
And one thing I want to say before we go, Michael, is this is not a story about me per se or some broken, gullible individuals or the past. It's a story about what's happening today to all of us. So the book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and if you're not a reader, it's also on Audible in my voice.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you.